shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Spills out to Horsley. What a goal!
For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle. You're listening to Liz Robbins and
James Broadhurst.
And we are being extra technological today, doing it over... What are we doing it over? Teams?
Well, we're doing it over a range of medium, and we're not letting distance get in the way of a good sporting story, and neither did a couple of clubs in the Waffle. They've got plenty of kilometres in the tank after heading all the way up to Broome for a very, very spicy encounter, and it wasn't just the temperature that was running hot.
No, it was not, James. Footy Waffle was back this weekend after the week off because of the state game, and it was a beautiful weekend for footy, I reckon. The sun was shining. It was hot up in Broome. I do know that, but...
Yeah, and it was great to see a lot of games going down to the wire. A couple of games from the round just gone decided by less than a kick, which is fantastic to see. Some nice close encounters at Waffle level. There's been quite a few blowouts this season, so it was great to see some nice close matches and some good contested footy around Perth over the weekend.
Yes, definitely. Do you want to kick off with the recap?
Yeah, well, let's start with the round that was. We were going to start with the game that headed up to the northern parts of WA where it got a little bit spicy. It was a preliminary final rematch from last year, but we've actually got a bit of an expert joining us a little bit later who will be able to shed a little bit more perspective on the way that the game played out and also giving some insight into the mid-season draft that's happening in less than 48 hours' time. So we'll be right back at that one. So I reckon we actually start with your team, Liz. Subiaco defeating the Swans by less than a goal.
It was a tight, stressful game, James, that's for sure.
Well, stressful for you or the players or both or?
Oh, everyone involved. There was lots happening on and off the oval, and I'm just going to say it, for Swans, they were looking good, and for Subi to perform like this, they might need to change a few things if second from the bottom of the ladder is nearly giving them a defeat.
Well, Subi were looking at returning to the winners list this weekend, and they've done that, not as emphatically as they would have liked. The Swans were looking to improve, having lost four of their last five, and it was another fast start and fade for the Black Ducks. They kicked the opening four or five goals of the game. Subi just managed to stay in touch. They didn't let the margin blow out like it maybe looked like it could have. They made their move in the third. The Swans kicking just three goals after halftime. They're kind of peaking too soon, it seems, with their scoring.
Running out of gas early on.
Yeah, and I think their coaching staff would be a little bit worried. It was a pretty low-scoring match, decided by less than a goal at full time. Hickmott was massive for Subi, 34 touches and four inside 50s. Zach Clark, huge by name and huge in stature as well, 26 touches, nine marks, three inside 50s. Fantastic work by the big man.
Is a huge man.
Was there anywhere on the ground that he could not reach? I know he's got a very long arm span, but that is, you know, some solid touches from the ruckman. I think he had 46 hit outs or something and getting over 20 touches and nine marks. He had a lot of the footy.
He was all over it, honestly, and you can see him from a mile away as well because he's at least a head taller than majority of the team.
Yeah, well, he's a hard one to match up on, that's for sure, and he definitely had the measure of the Swans ruck team. Aiden Clark was the shining light for the Black Ducks, 31 touches, two goals and seven inside 50s. So there was definitely effort there from a couple of the Swans, and yeah, and the Black Ducks, I reckon they've been one of the unluckiest teams in Waffle season 2023. Just they've come close on so many occasions, had so many promising starts, but just haven't been able to maintain that momentum either.
But they've been showing some good signs. If they're playing like this against teams that are in the top five, who knows where the second half of the season will go.
Exactly. I think if they can string four of those quarters together, and you know what their best footy looks like, if they could just get a little bit of consistency, who knows what can happen. So on to the next game, which was South Fremantle defeated by Perth, which was a bit of an upset I'm going to admit, but both of these games were decided by less than a kick. Perth with their first victory over South Fremantle since 2021.
Wow.
Bulldogs were actually leading into halftime too. So this was another come-from-behind victory. The Demons set up the win with a 5-3 quarter in at three-quarter time and trailed by a single point. And Matthew Taylor is absolutely the hero of the Demons, kicking the winning goal deep in time on in the last. And Jaden Hunter, bit of a surprise packet here. He kicked 4 of his 5 goals in the second half when the game was on the line and was there to be won. So really, really impressive to see a lot of players putting the effort in where it counted. But worrying signs for South Freo as well. They haven't had a particularly strong start to the season and they are in desperate need of some premiership points.
But they're up there. They've got their 4 points starting from -8. Hey, it's better than 0.
Yeah, we're gonna call it a theoretical 12 points. How about we just we're working hypotheticals when we get to the latter section. But I think the next game we're not going to dwell on particularly for a long time because there's not a whole lot of talking points to come out of it. West Coast, Liz, what happened?
It's unfortunate. They're having a bit of a tricky season. West Coast finished 9-12-66, were defeated by East Perth 22-8 with 140. So it wasn't another 100-point loss. They're getting their score up.
Well, we are working on the positives here a lot of the time for West Coast, and with every loss, they are actually statistically closer to their first win. Is kind of the way that I'm spinning it here. So on the Monday waffle, it's are West Coast closer to their first victory of 2023? And the answer is yes. Every time they lose, they become statistically more likely to win the next game. So I know that when they win their first game, it's going to feel like they've won the premiership. And I would love to be there
huge.
For that. But East Perth, not to be outdone, back on the winners list. They kicked away early, 6-2 in the first quarter. They just never really looked troubled. Eagles did show a bit of fight. It's not all sad news for West Coast. They actually won the last quarter, which, you know, you got to look at the little things here. Kicking 4-5-29 to East Perth's 4-1-25. I know that the game was over, but you've got to look for a couple of positives, and beating a team in at least one quarter is actually a positive that they can take away from this massive loss again as well.
Yeah, you got to look at the little things, but they're moving on up. They're definitely improving from
I don't think it can get much worse, but we're not going to spend too much more time on that one. We're going to move over to what we predicted as our game of the week for round 7, which was West Perth Falcons versus Peel Thunder. And again, another tight encounter. We've had 2 games decided by less than a goal, and this one was decided by less than 2. Both sides heading into round 7 having lost only 1 of their last 5. Peel sitting at first on the ladder, and West Perth were in 3rd when they clashed. And a chance for Peel to break their hoodoo against West Perth. The last 5 games have gone in favour of the Falcons, and Peel, Liz, they'd be coming away with the win, feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, they're looking good, James. They are looking good, that's for sure. It finished with West Perth 9-14-68 and Peel was 11-11 with 77. Peel is showing us who's boss at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing to come out of this is the Falcons were not without opportunities. 1-8 behinds in the second half. So we're talking about inaccuracy in front of goal. Peel Thunder just had a way of making it more efficient. They had one less scoring shot. So West Perth had 23 scoring shots to Peel Thunder's 22, but Peel Thunder just managed to come away with the win. So who knows what we'd be saying if the Falcons had kicked a little bit straighter, which isn't hard with 1-8, but I probably would be kicking 1-none because the rest of mine will go out in the full. But we'll have to wait until the TV semester to get into that sort of footage. And a couple of great efforts here. You had Wagner, absolute ball magnet, over 30 touches, 4 inside 50s, and Liam Henry for Peel Thunder as well, played brilliantly, 22 touches and 2 goals. Not without effort on West Perth. Shane Nelson tried hard all day, 33 touches and 2 goals for the Falcons as well. So we will get to the interview that we have with Jacob Lansmere in just a minute, but I reckon we actually touch on the latter before we go any further. Liz, do you want to take away with the top five?
Let's go. So top of the ladder, we have Peel, who are on 6 wins, 1 loss, 24 points. So they're the only team with 24 points at the moment. Then we have East Frio, Claremont and Subi all sitting on 20 points with 5 wins and 2 losses. And then West Perth is 5th at the moment. I think this is an old... No, that's the right ladder. I'm... brain freeze for a moment. So second...
You just want to see Subi higher on the ladder, that's all.
There's no bias here, James. There's no bias. But, yeah, so...
No, never on the Monday Waffle podcast.
So the second, third and fourth on the ladder, it's all percentage at the moment. So it's going to be a tight few coming weeks. And then, yeah, fifth, we've got West Perth, 4 wins, 3 losses, 16 points, which is the same as East Perth. So they're also on 4 wins, 3 losses. So, yeah, it's all percentage. Got to get those... high scores.
Which anyone facing the West Coast Eagles is always going to be looking at how much can I boost my percentage by this week. But yeah. Fantastic with the round ahead. We've got a lot of classic rivalries on the horizon, and I reckon that game between West Perth and East Perth is going to be an absolute ripper.
Definitely.
And before we go into the Round 8 preview for the Monday Waffle podcast, we are lucky enough to be joined by Jacob Lansmere, who was actually broadcasting the game between Claremont and East Fremantle all the way up in sunny Broome. It was a work trip. We did ask him if he managed to get to Cable Beach and go for a dip, but unfortunately that was out of bounds for the time frame that they had there. Jacob, thank you for joining us here on the Monday Waffle podcast. And can you tell us a little bit more about how it was getting the waffle up to Broome?
It was a terrific trip up to Broome. It was only a 24-hour trip. We went up with the teams on Friday night and came back on the Saturday evening, and good game of footy. Different temperatures, different conditions to what we get here in Perth. We had a top of 30 degrees and it was good game of footy. East Fremantle got a really important win for their season against Claremont, another contender. So really, really good game of football. The locals, I say they warmed to it. It was warm enough as it was, but there was a good smattering of spectators, but probably not the interest that I would have expected from a crowd point of view. There was 1,000 people or so, but they were very quiet during the game. There wasn't a lot of noise, unfortunately, James, for the players in the game. Goals were greeted by silence at different times. So as a commentator broadcasting, there wasn't a lot of ambience or sound effects, but all being said and done, it was a really enjoyable experience.
Mm. And tell us a little bit more about the way that the game transpired. Obviously, looking at the worm of the game, it looks like it was pretty tight early and kind of just became a little bit one-sided after halftime.
Yeah, Claremont lost a player early in Ben Clark, he's one who's been spoken about for the mid-season rookie draft, which is coming up on Wednesday. Tall midfielder from Claremont, he went down early, so that might unfortunately count against him, the fact that he's now injured. But on a warm day, losing a player before quarter time, let alone half time, hurt Claremont a lot. It was a very even game for a half, sort of went goal for goal, particularly in the first quarter. But East Fremantle got on a roll in the third term. Their midfield lifted. Dylan O'Reilly, ex-Docker listed player, kicked a couple of goals in the third term and turned the game his side's way. So wasn't a lot between the two sides. Claremont came back in the last quarter but left their run just a little bit too late. Cody Leggett with 3 goals for the Sharks. Missed a lot of footy with injury, but come back and played some good football this year. He's kicked 16 goals in 4 games. Baskerville, very good in the midfield for East Fremantle. And Matthew Jupp, who was the state captain only a week ago for the state game, was probably the best player on the ground. Kept Jack Buller goalless. But, yeah, pretty good game of football. Not much between them. Last 5 games between the sides have been split 3-2 East Fremantle's way. So hasn't been consecutive wins in that time either for either team. So really good rivalry starting to build between the teams, and yeah, interesting backdrop with Broome hosting the match.
Yeah, and brings them to a very interesting space in Waffle, having now sitting 2 and 3 on the ladder respectively, and they've both won 4 of their last 5. So it's going to be fascinating to see where both teams progress in the next couple of weeks.
I think East Fremantle's probably got more upside. I think their best football is still in front of them. I think this result showed that. Claremont is still a good team. They were without Bailey Rogers, a Sandover medalist, and Ben Edwards, who's seen as one of the best midfielders in the competition. So you take two good players out of a good team and they're going to struggle a little bit. But East Mantle didn't have the Marsh brothers, Jonathan or Harry Marsh. Neither of them played. Braden Lawler, who's a premiership player at Peel, didn't feature either. So both teams were down a few players, and I think East Mantle walk away with their premiership credentials enhanced. Claremont, a little bit of a blow, and losing Ben Clark in the game as well. So a bit of a setback for the Tigers, but certainly a grand finalist last year and every chance to feature deep into the season again.
And let's turn our eyes to the mid-season draft that's happening in the AFL this week. Oh, everyone's an expert when it comes to this time of year, and I think everyone's got a couple of players that they kind of would like to see take the next step. We covered a couple of players last week. We covered Daniel Curtin from Claremont. Colton Tholstra was apparently in the mix. Riley Hardiman. We also had Clay Hall. And also a developing ruck prospect, Mitch Edwards, out of Fremantle's sort of younger development squad. And now we've got players like Robert Hansen and from Subi and Jack Buller also being thrown around. Is it likely that any of these players are going to get an opportunity to do a Marlon Pickett from 2019 and take the step from the Waffle into a VFL side and then into an AFL grand final within the space of 3 months?
That was pretty magical, wasn't it, James, that Marlon Pickett tale from a couple of years back. To play your first game in an AFL grand final and win a premiership, I would have retired personally. I would have thought that's just about as good as it can get. You can't top a debut in a premiership. But he's still playing and still playing pretty good football, Marlon Pickett, for Richmond. There's been some good stories out of the mid-season rookie draft in its brief history. 2019, 2021, 2022 and now 2023. 2020 was a bit of a write-off with COVID. But Josh DeLuca was one who was taken originally back in 2019, played for Carlton. He was on Fremantle's books as well for a brief period. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for him, but there's been some good stories. You only have to look at John Noble, who's playing at Collingwood. He was taken in the mid-season rookie draft, amongst others. So there's been a few. There was a few names there you mentioned who are probably more likely to go at the end of the year, guys like Hardiman and Tholstrup. But Jack Bull is a genuine chance. I think he's had a number of interviews with AFL clubs, particularly at West Coast. I think West Coast have had a good look at Jack Buller, and Fremantle are keen as well. Both of them have a pick in this year's mid-season rookie draft. So there's a chance he won't leave Western Australia and could remain with one of the two West Australian clubs. He's probably the best bet locally. Robbie Hansen Jr., you mentioned, he's got speed. He's got plenty of skill and he's been looked at pretty closely. So he's a chance to go as well. And the other one's Jaden Hunter, who sort of burst to life in the last few weeks. Perth key forward, kicked 5 in a win on the weekend. So they say timing's everything in sport, and perhaps he's timed his run just right. A serious knee injury a couple of years ago, come back from that, and now looks every bit an AFL prospect. 21 years of age, 195 centimetres, and could be on an AFL list come Wednesday.
In terms of what the AFL clubs are going to be weighing up, are they looking to bolster their ranks for a current season for anyone in the premiership window, or is it more squads maybe taking a bit of a punt and trying to get an extra 6 months into some rookie or junior players to set themselves up better for next season?
That's a million-dollar question, because it was originally brought in, this mid-season rookie draft, for teams to find players who could immediately add to a team that's pushing for a finals berth. We saw John Noble come over to Collingwood and come into a team that played finals later that year. Collingwood played in a final and beat West Coast here in Perth in 2020, and John Noble was a part of that team. So that is what can happen if you use it correctly. I think these days, to be honest, that teams use this mid-season rookie draft to bring players in for the future, not for the present, and that's not what it was designed for. So I'd like to see more mature bodies taken out of the Waffle, a Buller, and maybe even a Hunter. Hunter's a little bit younger than Buller and played less football, but the idea was to recruit guys who are ready-made AFL players for tomorrow, not for 2-3 years down the track, not for clubs to basically accelerate their development of players for the forthcoming season. So that's how I'd like to see it used, but I think there's probably a little bit more evidence to suggest that clubs are just using it for development.
Well, if you did have the luxury of hindsight and your knowledge of the Waffle games at the moment and everyone's form, if you were aside from the top four of the AFL ladder, who would you be choosing to add a little bit of depth to your roster?
To be honest, I'd be looking at players who are 28 to 30, and that might sound silly because people go, well, they're not going to play AFL for six, seven, 8 years, but they could and should be able to play AFL football tomorrow. I saw Matthew Jupp play on Jack Buller on Saturday in Broome, and he kept Jack Buller goalless and has been a premier defender in the Waffle. I think he could play AFL tomorrow. Now, he won't get picked up. He won't get an opportunity. In fact, he hasn't nominated. But that's what I would use this mid-season rookie draft for. Get a 28, 29-year-old. They might only play for 2 or 3 years. I mean, Marlon Pickett, he was basically used as an example for that. You know, he'd been through hardship. He'd spent time incarcerated, come back at South Fremantle, been a very good player, and then got drafted to Richmond and was ready to play AFL football within a handful of weeks. So I'd like to see an Angus Dewar who plays at Subiaco, or Ben Sokol who plays at Subiaco, or Tyler Keitel who plays at West Perth. They're all very good players. They all dominate in the competition, and they could walk into an AFL system tomorrow and have success for a shorter period, but certainly help a Collingwood, a Melbourne, a Port Adelaide, these kind of clubs that are looking to add just that little bit extra to help them win a premiership.
Jacob, thank you for spending a few minutes here with us for the Monday Waffle podcast and providing a little bit of perspective on not only the Waffle's road trip up to the northern parts of WA, but also the looming mid-season draft and hopefully a couple of WA hopefuls in there as well, and hope to catch you at one of the many classic rivalries scheduled for this weekend's Waffle matches.
Looking forward to it. It's a very good Waffle season. I encourage your listeners to get to the game, support their team, buy a membership, support your club that you support. There's a lot of long-time family traditions in supporting teams, and that's what makes the Waffle great. It's a community feel and very cheap and accessible tickets, and encourage you to get to the Waffle. It's a great competition.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
That was Jacob Lansmere giving us a recap of the Claremont East Rio game that was held up in Broome over the weekend and giving us a little insight into the rookie draft, which is happening this Wednesday. Let's go into the preview of round 8. We have a full weekend of footy. It is a long weekend, so we've got games on Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So if you're looking for something to do, you've got footy if you get bored, which I love.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fantastic that we've got not only a full weekend, but a long weekend of footy. Three games or 3 days worth of matches spread across. There's going to be some wicked rivalries re-established this week as well.
To kick it off, we have Perth versus Claremont at Mineral Resources on Saturday. And I think Claremont coming off a loss are going to want to assert their dominance again and just tell everyone, no, we're still here. We're doing good.
Well, not only that, but, you know, Perth coming off the back of a tight win as well. Anything can happen. If they can carry a little bit of that form and confidence through, Claremont might be shaky and maybe even a little bit zapped after playing in such hot conditions. They did lose a key player in their match against East Frio up in Broome as well. So will Manning become an issue, or will Claremont be able to stick together and be that resilient bunch that they've shown for many years in the Waffle?
That is the question. On Sunday, we have Swannies versus West Coast at Steel Blue Oval. Now, like we've discussed, Swannies have come off some very extremely close games, nearly taken out the teams in the top five. So they are looking for this win. Definitely.
Well, the Swannies or the Black Ducks will be licking their lips in anticipation of perhaps getting on the winners list again for 2023. And West Coast, could this be their first win of the season? They've just come off winning a quarter against East Perth. You know, if they can carry a little bit of that sort of potential through and a little bit of confidence, anything can happen. But I think the Swans are going to win. But I would love to see West Coast get up for a game. I would love to just see the on-field celebrations of a team that has been so starved of success and opportunity for this season. Just getting a win would be awesome to see.
Yeah, it would be a great sight. And to finish off Sunday, we have Peel versus Subi down in Mandurah at Lane Group Stadium. Now, yeah, Peel have consistently showed us they're a strong side, so Subi are really going to have to go in strong and maybe change up how they're playing this week, I reckon, if they're going to stand a chance.
Well, it is first versus fourth this weekend for Peel versus Subiaco, and there's only one game separating the top four on the ladder, like you said before, in the ladder roundup. So, you know, I think it's going to be a tighter contest than what the ladder positions actually say. Peel Thunder will probably be a little bit nervous, I would say, coming into this match. Subiaco have got a long history of providing some very, very classic encounters, and I'll be hoping to see some really good footy between these two sides when they meet on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game for sure. On the Monday, we've got our Frio Derby, East Frio versus South Frio at the Wacca. So that is on
The Wacca. We've got a Fremantle Derby at the Wacca.
Yep. Who would have ever thought?
Okay, so we got a Fremantle Derby, which is south of the river, happening in the city.
Yep.
Okay, makes complete sense.
Yeah, we always got to learn to adapt, you know?
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, what COVID has shown us, that we need to be resilient and adaptable, but it still blows my mind that we're talking about two clubs from Fremantle playing in the city. I know it's not that far. It is Perth. It's not that big. I get it. But also, I just don't understand why this game isn't being played at Fremantle Community Oval. I don't get it. But
well, unfortunately, we don't make the rules, James.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to have to build a bridge and get over to the... I'm going to have to build the Yatagarra bridge
and get over it.
The Wacca.
But yes, East Frio have been looking real good. They defeated Claremont and Subi the past two rounds. But South coming off a loss, it might just give them that extra drive. You know, they're looking for these points. They would be on 12, hypothetically.
Yeah, I think if we're talking about the hypothetical South Fremantle, then we're talking about, you know, a 12-point side instead of a 4-point side. But I think the East Fremantle defence is going to be too much for South Fremantle's attacking lineup. They've got some strong weapons up forward with Archie spending a little bit of time up there. But given how strong that defensive lineup was over the weekend up in Broome, I reckon they're just going to find a way to starve South Fremantle of opportunities.
Yeah, that was what happened past couple of weeks with Subi as well. And to finish off, we have East Perth versus West Perth at Leaderville. So a little Perth derby, I guess you could say, in Leaderville.
Yeah, yeah. It's only fair that we moved the Perth derby down to Rockingham or something similar. But anyway, I will get over it, I promise. But, yeah, another classic encounter, and I think they're sitting fifth and sixth on the ladder respectively. Going to be awesomely close, I think. I think these two sides always bring the heat when the derby or derby or whatever you want to call it is at stake. And I'm just really excited to see local footy, and a lot of these contests promise to be great games, which is going to be fantastic viewing. No reason not to go on the public holiday Monday, whether you're in the city or in Leaderville.
Even if you're hungover. Weekend. No excuses.
Yes. Yes, well, they do serve hot chips at most waffle grounds, so, you know, that's your recovery sorted.
Chips and gravy.
As long as your team wins, you can come out on top.
It's the long weekend supporting our state, so let's do that. Let's support our sport.
Yeah. Yeah, and just looking towards our Monday Waffle podcast game of the week, what is your tip, Liz? Are we thinking East Perth versus West Perth or Subi versus Peel?
I'm thinking East Perth. They're both going to be good games, but because of the laddering position with East Perth and West Perth both on 4 wins, 3 losses, they're both going to have that extra drive, you know. Who's going to be the one that's up top?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the covering a derby or a derby or whatever you're going to call it always brings a little bit more drama, and we're always about that drama here on the Monday Waffle podcast.
We love the drama. If anyone has drama that they want to send in, that we can shout out, go for it. Any inside goss?
Well, before we get too much more dramatic, I think we covered the mid-season draft in a little bit of detail before with Jacob Landsmere chatting to us about some potential people that are on the radar. It was fascinating learning about the process and the pros and cons, but I think it'd just be fantastic to see if we can get anyone from the Waffle reliving some of that 2019 magic with Marlon Pickett. Unlikely as it is, it could still happen. But fascinating to hear about Jacob's perspectives on the mid-season draft as well.
Yeah, I guess, and on the weekend, if teams do get their kids drafted up, that'll be another thing in their tails that they'll be happy for, excited for, might give them that push. We've got our boy that's going in. Let's play for him.
That brings our Round 8 Waffle podcast to an end. You've been with James Broadhurst and
Liz Robbins.
We'll catch you on the next episode of the Monday Waffle.
Thank you for tuning in. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.